Making Wise Choices, Sunday Morning Sermon, May the 15th, 2005, Town Creek, Alabama. The Old Testament provides valuable lessons for Christians. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them," those in the Old Testament, the Israelites, "for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, one such lesson of importance is making wise choices in our lives. If we look at Lot made a choice as to where to live, and as a result, he experienced war and kidnapping, Genesis chapter 14. He experienced oppression and torment by the ungodly citizens of Sodom. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, Peter says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or behavior of the wicked," those there in Sodom. "For that a righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lot suffered the loss of all of his possessions, the death of his wife, and even ended up committing incest with his own daughters. Genesis chapter 19 tells us this. We could look at the example of David. David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba, and as a consequence, he suffered the death of his infant son that was the culmination of the adulterous act with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel chapter 12 tells us that. His daughter, Tamar, was molested by her half-brother, Amnon, 2 Samuel 13. In 2 Samuel 13, we see that Absalom, the full blood brother of Tamar, killed Amnon. So David had violence in his family, son killing son molesting sister. Some terrible things that happened because of David's sin. That son which killed Amnon, Absalom, eventually ended up leading a rebellion against his own father and shamed his father publicly. And when he was eventually killed in this conflict, it brought David even more grief. We see that recorded in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. So, with Lot and David illustrating the need for making wise choices, let's consider some choices that greatly affect our lives, some suggestions for making wise choices, and what to do when we have made the wrong choices. We begin with a review of choices which greatly affect our own lives. First, choosing Jesus. Ask the question, will you follow Jesus or not? Will you become his disciple or not? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation through obedience to the gospel? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You see, this one decision will affect your life more than any other decision. It will determine your place in eternity. It will have a bearing on every other decision you will make after that point in time. As a disciple, you'll be concerned with doing his will. As a disciple, you won't simply be concerned with doing your own thing. You will be set on serving God and doing the will of the Father and the Son. So choosing Jesus is the first and most important thing that we could look at today. Will you choose Jesus or will you not? Will you obey the gospel or will you not? Next on my little list of things we can look at, choosing a career. You know, sometimes we don't have a lot of choice in what we can do. There's not a lot of work around, but we do have some choices if we think about it. Even from a worldly standpoint, not even looking at it from a Christian standpoint, the job or career that you choose in life is very important. You know, the job market is always changing, and the wrong choice could lead to financial ruin or physical hardship. More importantly, the choice can have a lasting effect on your marriage and your family. And it can have an effect on your service to God. When making the choice of jobs or making the choice of careers, we need to consider making the choice to honor God first, and then we will be truly blessed. As it says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." If you make money the primary factor in your decision, then destruction could very well follow. As Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." When we choose a job or a career, we spend our time training for a career. Or if we have an opportunity to take a job, the first thing as a Christian we need to consider is this job going to affect my relationship with God? Is it going to take me away from the things I know that I have to do in order to serve God? Is the job I have now causing me to do things? It's another thing to look at. Did you make a bad choice? It's a job I have now causing me to slip away from God. Maybe you need to think about changing your career or job choice. Choosing a job or a career is very, very important, not just from the worldly standpoint, but also from the standpoint of being a Christian. Next on this list of things is choosing a spouse or a mate. You know, this choice is a choice that will determine to a great extent your degree of happiness in this life. The writer of the Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones." And that can apply both to men and women, and it does apply. You could say a virtuous man is a crown to his wife, but he that maketh ashamed is rottenness to her bones. So it applies both ways. The choice of a spouse or a mate will have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional well-being. You know, some people can think they can simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice. But I'm going to tell you, once you have children, there's no way to reverse the choice you made as to who is the mother or father of your children. In the courts today, look at it in the same light. That mother and father have rights as far as the children are concerned. And it brings more misery into the lives of more children because a mom and a dad couldn't get along. They just couldn't get along because they were both selfish in their intent. One was selfish, or the other was selfish, or they both were selfish. It doesn't really matter. When the elephants fight, the old proverb from Africa, it's not a Bible proverb, but an old African proverb says, when the elephants fight, the grass suffers. That means the little things get stomped on. And the children are not unaffected by the violence and the quarreling, and all the other things that can happen in divorce. Malachi said in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hates divorce. He hates putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, and the Lord, and saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously." What is Malachi saying? God hates divorce. That's what he's saying. And he's saying that generally, people that are involved in it are covering something up. Here he says violence, but they are generally covering something up. Generally, they're covering up their selfishness and their own self-interest, as opposed to the interest of the bond that they've made between one another, before God and man. So, choosing a mate, choosing a spouse. No, there's not too many young people here today. Not too many people who haven't already chosen a spouse or a mate, and young people that are here, you ask some of these folks if what I'm saying is not true. Choosing a spouse or a mate is very important. It's very, very important. Do not choose someone who will draw you away from God. Don't choose a job that's going to take you away from God. Don't stay in a job that's going to keep you away from God, or make you leave the things you know you should do as a Christian serving God. Don't involve yourself in a relationship where you may end up being married or other things insofar as choosing a spouse or choosing a mate that you can see you're not going to be happy because that person is going to pull you away from God. These are important choices, very, very important choices. Next on my list of these things is choosing your friends. You know, having good, close friends is a wonderful blessing. The Proverbist also wrote that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But the wrong friends can be a curse. Yes, sir, they can be a curse. Proverbs also wrote in Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth thee." It is a wicked friend or a wicked neighbor. They can lead a righteous man away. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, and I've mentioned this one before, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good morals." Wicked friends lead to evil ends. Choosing friends is very, very important. You know, we're not to have anything to do, Paul says, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Folks, if you know your friends are evil people, you're either doing one of two things. You're either trying to live a Christian life in front of them so you might lead them to the Lord, or you're joining in with their wickedness. You're partaking of their evil deeds. One of two things. You're either trying to be a good friend and a Christian in front of them. Be a good friend by being a good Christian in front of them and leading them out of the darkness. Or you're having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's only two things that can be going on. We need to be careful about making the right choices. First, we need to choose Jesus. That's the choice we make if we're Christians. We need to be careful about the job we choose, the career we choose. We need to be careful about the spouse we choose. And we need to be careful about the friends we choose in this life. You know, I mentioned a while ago about Lot choosing where to live. Sometimes we can't really have any input as to where we live. But sometimes we do. You know, some folks will take that job in the big city. These two things might be connected. They'll move off to a big city where the bright lights of the big city will erode the wide-eyed innocence of humble country folks. I know, I've been there, and it will. You see them lights flashing in the cities that don't go to sleep at night? Now all this stuff that's going on, it can drag you away from faithfulness to God. You make a choice to go live in a big city like that, you're taking a big chance as a Christian on being drawn away from your faith in God. Lot made that choice. He made that mistake, is the best way to put it. Because to him, it appeared to be a sound business decision. Genesis chapter 13, which I mentioned earlier, verses 10 and 11, says there, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou hast come upon unto Zoar." Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from another. He cast his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah because it was well watered. It looked like a good place to claim as his land. And that's what he and Abraham were doing. Abraham gave him the choice, and he took what looked like the best land. But it was a poor, very poor moral decision. Looked like a good business decision, but it was a very poor moral decision. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13 says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." What basis do we choose where we live? Is the place where we live based solely on what kind of house we can afford? Is it based upon the location because of our work, school, etc.? And do we consider whether or not the choice of where we live can be a hindrance to our service to God and to the Lord's church? There may be some modern-day Sodom and Gomorrahs out there that we need to avoid. Some may even be living in modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I don't know that any place right around here that is, but if you are, you need to take a long look at that. You need to choose Jesus first. You need to be careful about what job or career we choose and what kind of spouse or mate we choose and what kind of friend we choose. And we need to be careful about where we choose to live, especially in relation to taking that job to make more money. If these things, any of these things that we choose, lead us away from God, we need to know that for every action, there is a reaction. And for every choice, there are consequences. To increase the likelihood that our choices will have good consequences, here are a few suggestions to help us make wise choices. First, ask God for wisdom. He promises to give wisdom to those who ask faithfully. James says in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering," nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." We need to ask for wisdom. And asking for wisdom requires diligence. The proverb has said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou wilt incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." We have to apply ourselves to asking God for wisdom and understanding, because we have to ask and we have to ask and we have to ask. Persistence pays off, because God's going to help us. And it may be by letting us learn those things. That's what wisdom is anyway. God's not just going to shoot it in you with a needle. God's not just going to strike a bolt of lightning on top of your head and like that or anything like that. That's not going to happen. God's going to allow you to learn a great many things. When you ask for wisdom or patience, perseverance, any of those things, which are similar to some, in some extent, when you ask for those things, God's going to let you learn. And you got to be looking. That requires diligence. It means you got to study God's Word and you got to be watching out. Watching out for the things that are warned about earlier, about jobs and spouses and friends and where you live and all those things. Those are just a few of the choices that we have to make in life. So we need to fill our prayers with requests for wisdom to make wise choices. That's the first thing we need to do. The next is ask other Christians for advice. I mean, ask other Christians for advice. Don't just ask anybody for advice. You know, there's safety in having many counselors. The Proverbist again writes, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's wisdom in heeding the counsel of good Christian brothers and sisters. Proverbs said in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Two great sources of counsel. I'll give them to you right now. You mark this down and you write it down in your little book in your head, or get you a piece of paper and write it down. Here are the two great sources for counsel. The Bible itself. God's Word. Because that's God's counsel. Especially a book like the book of Proverbs. You sit down and start reading it. We studied it in Wednesday night Bible class. It took a while to go through it. We studied it verse by verse. I'm going to tell you, it'll help you. If you look at it and look how it applies to you as a Christian, it's God's Word. There are things in the Proverbs that still apply to us as Christians because it's God's timeless principles. So the Bible itself, that's number one. Then the other is older, mature Christians. Christians who've been around a while. Christians who've been through the battles of temptation, the battles of things that could draw you away from your faith, perhaps even been drawn away from faith and had to come back time and time again. They have lessons they can share with you, especially when you need counsel. That is, you got a problem and you don't know what to do. You go to God's Word, you still can't find what you need there. It's there. You may just not be mature enough to find it. That's why you need to go to a more mature Christian. They might point to something. Right there it is. How to overlook it all this time. I've had that happen. God's Word. And older, more mature Christians. Those are the two best sources of counsel you can go to. So ask other Christians. Ask God. Ask other Christians for advice. Ask God for wisdom. Ask other Christians for advice. Ask God for advice by reading His Word. Next, commit your choices to the Lord. Trusting that you have that you've made choices pleasing to Him, put those things in His hands. The psalmist said, the psalmist David, who made a bad choice, by the way, with Bathsheba. This is a psalm that's attributed directly to him, Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's basically saying the same thing that Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Take no thought for the morrow will take heed unto itself. There's enough trouble for today, is what Jesus is saying, without setting yourself for any tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you. That's what the psalmist David said here. It's still a timeless principle of God. If you make your choices, then make your choices with the understanding that it's if the Lord wills. Now, I want this no matter what. If the Lord wills, then it'll be done. It's like in prayer. If you're willing, God, if it's your will, let it be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be upon the morrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's how we should do our lives also. Nothing wrong making plans. But always remember, if it's God's will, it'll come to pass. And make the right choice. If you think you've made the right choice, then commit it to God. It'd be His will. You know, a person might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, that He might frustrate the carrying out of that choice. Or otherwise show you through His word that it's not his will or what His will is. Include God in your decision making if you wish to make wise choices. It's very, very important. There'll be times when it will become apparent that we've made poor choices, even wrong choices. What can we do to avoid making matters worse? Well, here are some suggestions for responding to wrong choices. Learn from the mistakes of others, like I mentioned about older, more mature Christians. Do what Lot did. Take heed and flee. He got out. God gave him word through those men, those angels that came to visit him there in Sodom, to get out, that God was going to destroy the place. And he took heed to the word of God and got out. Heed the word of God. There's your first suggestion. Here's how we always come back to the word of God. It's the first thing. If we choose Jesus, then we're obeying God's word. If we choose the right job, then make sure it doesn't take us away from obeying God's word. If we choose friends, if they don't take us away from obeying God's word, or a spouse, or a place to live, any of those things, that God's word comes first. Seek ye first. It always brings us back to the same thing, don't it? Do what you know is right according to God without reservation. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? She didn't listen to God's word. They said, don't look back. Get out and don't look back. She looked back and she died because of it. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Do what Peter did when you fail, when you fall, when you make a bad choice that drags you away from God. Repent and serve God. Repent if sin is involved. That's what Peter did after he denied Christ. Serve the Lord with what time you have left in this life and try not to mess it up again. Do what Paul did, accept and live. Accept the forgiveness that God provides. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Friends and brethren, we need to determine to live for the Lord to the best of our ability. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said there, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those are the right things to do. If we make bad choices. Learn from the mistakes of others, just like Lot did, just like Peter did. They learned from their mistakes, and they learned from the mistakes of others. It's like Paul did. It's like David did. We see the examples throughout the Bible. We need to follow God's Word. That's what it always comes back to. The wrong thing to do is this. Two things. The wrong thing to do is continue. That is, remain in the choice that you've made because of pride or some other reason. Or to wallow in that choice. Just feel sorry for yourself because of your guilt or your loss. Try to blame it on everybody else. Even if it is somebody else that caused it, that's not going to change your eternal situation. It's not going to change your eternal destiny. Repent and serve God for you who are Christians. And those who are not Christians, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live faithfully unto death. Those are the only choices that you can make that are correct. And as I said in the beginning, they're going to dictate all the other choices you make from there on out. I hope the examples of men like Lot, David, Peter, Paul, and many, many others teach us the importance of making wise choices. I hope they teach us to serve as a warning. I hope it serves as a warning to us not to take our decision-making and making of choices lightly. May we ever be open to the wisdom from God and the counsel of other Christians as we make such choices as the choice of our careers, our spouses, our friends, and where we're going to live, just some examples. All the choices that we make in life. But the big question today is, have you made the most important decision you'll ever make in this life? A decision which will determine your eternal destiny. The decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why not follow Jesus today and become His disciple?